We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Winning isn't everything, but it's the only thing. In our business, there is no second place. Either you're first or you're last.
Exactly 2 minutes remain in this football game. Dallas leads Green Bay 17-14.
Starr on third down. Third and goal. Quarterback. The 14 seconds left.
And the Green Bay Packers are going to be world champions, NFL champions for the third straight year.
Starr lays it up for Freeman, and it's incomplete. Or did he make the catch at the 15? Yes. What are they going to roll it? He caught it. Touchdown. He did what?
Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone. It is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown.
The final snap of Super Bowl 45. The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Talk of the Tundra, your Green Bay Packers podcast that is a proud partner of the Eurostep Podcast Network and the Blue Wire family. As always, I am your host, Numac, coming at you guys with what is an eventful day in Packers free agency history and just Packers history in general. And joining me to talk about all of the news, is Jordan Tresky, my lovely co-host. Jordan, how are you doing, buddy?
Hello. Happy free agency. A phrase that I usually don't say when it comes to the Green Bay Packers, but we are here and we are ready.
Yeah, we're here and ready because, golly, was it a long day of Packers news. We started the day thinking that just maybe the Packers wouldn't get too involved in NFL free agency because they usually don't. But holy moly, were we caught offside. So I guess where should we start, Jordan? I think we have to start with the sad news first.
Let's start with the moves that were made possible for the free agent spree that the Packers have gone on.
Okay.
So I guess that is the sad news.
All right. I guess we'll start at the top. We got to talk about the big man, Dave Bakhtiari. Finally came to be. They said Packers saved $21.5 million by releasing David Bakhtiari. He put a heartfelt message out on Twitter. I will pull that up briefly to read it. But yeah, a long time coming for David Bakhtiari from the Packers, obviously. This is what he had to say on Twitter with a black and white video that eventually turned color, but set to a Frank Sinatra song, the What Is It Got? Da 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 ba, da da da, whatever. I don't know what that song was called. Anyways, this is from David Bakhtiari. A lot of emotion in this. I just want to say thank you, Green Bay. Thank you for the last 11 years. It's been a hell of a run. I always wanted to raise a Lombardi on Lombardi Avenue, but I will never complain. I give it my all. I always give it my best, no matter the circumstance. And to me, that was truly enough. My 32-year-old self is so damn proud of that 21-year-old with no facial hair, bushy-tailed kid that just wanted to do his best. I'm so proud of you. whatever happens next, I look forward to it. To the city and the fans across the world, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to the entire organization. Thank you to the entire coaching staffs. Thank you to the entire support staff. Thank you to my wife and daughter, Frankie and Felix. I hope you are so proud. My family, Debbie, Carl, Eric, Andrew, and Danielle, I hope I represented our name with pride these past 11 years in Green Bay. I cannot thank everyone enough, so I hope this post will suffice. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it's happened. Love, 69, hashtag dinner 42. Pretty heartfelt message. Like, David Bakhtiari has never wanted to mince words, but I think it's a vulnerable side of David Bakhtiari we've never really seen before, which was nice because this is a big moment for obviously the organization and him personally.
David Bakhtiari and I have something in common, using that Dr. Seuss quote to both sign off their Packers career and use that in my senior high school yearbook. So if you go, yeah, if someone gets their hands on that, you would see that quote under my picture. That, yeah. Too much information. Anyway, David Bakhtiari leading the Green Bay Packers, move that was very just kind of in the cards. It was talked about openly for weeks, months, maybe even years, really, just given the nature of his injury. And yeah, like I think we're all like, okay, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? I think at this point, when we knew that free agency, the official tampering portion of free agency, we knew that there it was going to come through the pike somehow. And of course it did on Monday at like, what, 9? Basically like a couple hours before things got really hot and heavy on the free agency stove. So yeah, it was very drawn out, but that's not by David Bakhtiari's choosing at all. Just the nature of just how his body has gone against him for 3-ish years. And it sucks, but really a really quality player, one of the best Packers of this century, easily. And yeah, it's Packers have made it look like it's easy to replace David Bakhtiari this year. I will assure myself as I get excited when the season rolls around that that's not always going to be the case. So
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm sad because it had to happen. Like, for all, I said it on Twitter, for all other things aside, Bakhtiari was on his way to becoming a Hall of Famer. Like, first ballot, left tackle Hall of Famer, probably. I would be surprised if he wasn't, if he continued on the trajectory that his career was on. And so it sucks that he ends up going out like this. And I should say going out like he's retiring, because he's not retiring, notably. This is a release from the team. But I'd be surprised if he plays again. I know he has ambitions of playing again, but coming off two surgeries and just the way his body's held up, like you said, the last 3 years, it might be the end of it. He might get a veteran minimum contract somewhere. The team, if you listen to the song he played on his goodbye video, it's Frank Sinatra, famously New York guy. So we'll see about that. Regardless, it just does stink just the way it had to end. I didn't mean to upset you.
I know, but...
But like you said, for sure, it is stupid. For sure, one of the all-time Packers of this century. Made the most of his career in the time that he was here, obviously. So, with all that being said, it sucks, but I'm sure... I wouldn't be surprised if he gets his spot in the Packers Hall of Fame at some point in the future.
Oh, I think that's a lock. I think they even mentioned that in the official team statements.
Mm.
Yeah, that is... What it's, I think they follow like standard Hall of Fame procedure, like 5 years, kind of feels like they do. Maybe.
But I think was Clay Matthews and Aaron Kampman the ones that are coming up this year. I think
Kampman for sure. Yeah, well, yeah, both. So yeah, Clay. I mean, Clay's been probably it's been
2018 would have been, or 2019.
2018 was his last year in Green Bay, and then he played for the Rams.
One year. So yeah, about 5 years. I guess it doesn't really matter, but. Yeah, I'm sure he'll be in pretty soon regardless, depending on how long the lead time of that is. Yeah.
Okay.
So, all that being said, all the best to Dave Bakhtiari. It was a I saw something, I think it was from Aaron Nagler today, that it either Nagler, it was probably all over Packers Twitter, frankly. But if it was fitting enough that David Bakhtiari's final game was an absolute domination performance against the Chicago Bears in Chicago, where he was pictured giving the bird to the fans before he got in his stance. Like, that's just...
You think he did that on purpose?
I don't think he did. Like, he...
No, I don't think he did either, but it is, like, to do that against your rival in, like, the first game of the year.
Oh, he definitely...
It was an emotionally charged win of, like, to never be seen again in a Packers uniform after that.
Yeah.
Pretty remarkable.
I think he's definitely like Rodgers was, where he hates the Bears. I think that rivalry is fierce within him. And I think that he definitely is happy that that's his last game as a Packer. Like, I'm sure he didn't want it to be, but if he looks back and is like, it's a fitting last game, an absolute ass kicking of a performance. So,
yeah.
All right. We got to do one more pre-one before we get real sad. The Devondre Campbell is cut as well. $10.5 million saved. He was designated as a post June 1 release to be able to save that money. Like we had said earlier this week, or last week, I should say, a long time coming from the offseason till now, or from when the offseason began after the 49ers lost till now. This another unfortunate just state of circumstances. He gets his big contract, gets some of his money, but ultimately injuries and just poor play was his undoing in Green Bay.
Yes. When we talked about on our last pod of these three that we will go into, I think the only reason why we would keep Campbell around was, you know, are you going to be able to get a premier linebacker in free agency if you have the money? Are you going to be able to draft a stud linebacker out of the draft? Like, kind of in between these two positions. And then you have another need to fill, as we learned. So it was very much just kind of like, okay, do you just kind of keep your ducks in a row and then wait till next year to do that? But the performance and health and just kind of durability issues that have come up with Devondre Campbell post big money contract was too much, you know. And I had felt that if they, again, there's other circumstances that are in play here that we'll get into shortly. But if they felt like they could upgrade Devondre Campbell, I knew that they would ultimately do that. And it obviously is coming to pass.
Yeah.
But to me, it was very, like, when I was thinking it over after it was first reported, I think from Rob Domofsky yesterday, Sunday, as we're recording, I was just very much like, yeah, like, that does make sense. Like, I didn't really have, like, an argument for it or against it. I'll keep coming to the fact that, you know, I read yesterday that he was the first Packers linebacker to be an all-pro since Ray Nitschke in 1966.
Oh,
that
my
is wild.
God.
That is wild. Like, we're talking about the Packers here. We're not talking about, like, you know, the Bucks or the Brewers, where they go through these, you know, periods of misery of just not having standout players that would get, like, all-star, like, all-pro seasons. That's a long time.
That's a long time.
Very long time. That is precisely, what would that be, 55 years?
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah. Devondre Campbell made history in that sense. But
he did. And it's not like he wasn't deserving of the contract in the first place. Like, I think...
Oh, no. I think...
You have to give him that contract. He earned it.
I think... Yeah, and it's very easy to look from it now where... Yeah, we were still in the Rodgers, just kind of like, well, what's going on with him? He's doing his thing again of like, he's going to play. Is he going to play in Green Bay? At the time, it would have been around the Denver stuff or
yep,
whatever the case would be. And yeah, it's just very, you had to do everything that you can to keep things in motion. And when you have it all, like, just to move on from that, after being found money, essentially, that's not an easy thing to be like, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're going to just keep on and hope that Aaron Rodgers still comes to Green Bay despite having that. They had to do that contract, and I feel like it gets very misconstrued that, like, when someone gets hurt, like, this easily applies to Bakhtiari and probably will apply to Aaron Jones, depending on how that plays out. But
right,
it's very easy just to look at it from the player side, like, oh, he wasn't worth the money, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, they're not the ones signing that contract. They're not the ones handing that out. Look at the stuff that there are contracts that we will not mention today that happen with other teams because we're Packers pod. But you're looking at like a 5-year, $100 million contract for a guard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the going rate of just what it is on, you know, especially the first day of free agency.
Yeah. It'll stink. We'll see how they end up replacing Devondre Campbell. It'll be tough for sure just to find someone at, I guess, at his price level to produce like he had in years past. Like, that's honestly what they're missing. They weren't missing Devondre Campbell of this year. They're missing Devondre Campbell of years past, which was worth the money that he was earning. And so it's going to be tough to replace him. Hopefully they can. I'm sure they will, but it's just some context to think about. But I guess two other deals worth talking about that made the way that not resigning these players helped pave the way for the good news we'll talk about in a moment. But John Runyon Jr. received a 3-year, $30 million deal with the Giants, $17 million guaranteed. And then Darnell Savage signed a 3-year, $21 million deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. At the John Runyon Jr., I don't have too many words about. Good for him for going to find a starting gig and hopefully finds some sort of success in New York. Darnell Savage, I mean, you and I talked about it. A day one deal wasn't what I was expecting, but I think you called it and that he had suitors and that he was going to find something. He wasn't going to be able to come back on a small deal like I had hoped, but alas, goes to Jacksonville. Good on Darnell for earning himself that deal with his play this past year for sure.
Yeah. Both teams that Runyon Jr. and Savage went to were spending a lot of money today. As they usually do, I would say. I feel like they're always kind of in the mix when free agency rolls around and they have the ability to shed cap, to spend more cap. I can't, you know, they got the bag. Good for them. Packers will try to move on from them in some way and will, at least in one case, we know who one is replacing over the other.
That's a tease.
Would you like 3 years and $21 million of Darnell Savage, or were you like 4 years and $68 million of Xavier McKinney?
I think I'd like 4 years, $68 million of Xavier McKinney. I guess we'll hop into that good news first. Do you want to end with Aaron Jones?
We might as well. I think that one's gonna be a weighty topic.
So then we'll get into that then. So with that being said, like Jordan said, 4 years, $68 million for former Giants safety Xavier McKinney, $25 million guaranteed in year one, among the top five safeties paid in the NFL, only 24 years old, notably in the same Alabama team as another Packers signing, which we'll talk about in a little bit, Josh Jacobs. But Xavier McKinney, the top safety in this free agency class. The Packers famously were lackluster at safety this past year. Huge, huge upgrade immediately for the Packers on day one. I know we had talked about that we wanted Xavier McKinney real bad, Jordan. Remember this last week? Like, we want him bad. We know they're not going to sign him because it's not the Packers' way.
Mm-hmm.
They surprised me with this. Like, this was an absolute roller coaster of a day between Bakhtiari being cut and then Jacobs was signed first, or I'm sorry, Tyler Davis was signed first this morning. They re-signed to a one-year deal. But then it's like, okay, and then the news about Bakhtiari, and then Josh Jacobs, and then Aaron Jones we'll talk about, then Darnell Savage. Like, this was a very hard day emotionally for the Packers and for fans in general. But it ended. I forget. Did it end? Did it end with McKinney or did it end with Jones? I forget.
McKinney was definitely the last of as of recording right now, it was the last of the moves.
So then it ends high, right? It ends with this victorious, like, they went and got a dog that is going to for sure improve their secondary. Comes back to Green Bay. I shouldn't say comes to Green Bay to rejoin his former cornerbacks coach Derek Ansley, who's on the staff now. I mean, what was your first reaction upon seeing my at you on Discord, Jordan?
I was overjoyed. It was very good to see that the big fish in the safety market is now a Green Bay Packer. That is, they have spent more money, probably double, on David McKinney alone than they did on the entire safety position last year.
I think the entire offense last year.
That probably that too. But
I think outside of Jordan Love, but in free agency for sure.
Savage's money was the only, you know, and that was obviously picked up with his fifth year option, but all the Tavarius Moores, the Anthony Johnsons, the Jonathan Owens, Rudy Ford, like those are guys that are probably making league minimum or like a little over $1 million. Like it wasn't a lot. It was one of the least invested positions in all of football last year. And the Packers go the other way with it, get the biggest free agent safety available. And now you have the, as we talked about last pod, you have the chess piece that can go all around. I've seen the stats on the tweets and stats of from NFL and NFL Next Gen Stats and like PFF and just like how well rounded we're talking about the player that he is. And I keep coming back to like this guy's 24. There, I think there was some stuff that I was reading from an NFL draft lens that he's like at the same age range as some of the guys that are coming out of college now because of the extra COVID year of eligibility. So it's like
he's the same age as Anthony Johnson Jr.
Crazy. It's crazy. So you're getting an ascending safety, a top being paid, I believe, top five level safety. A guy that has plenty of versatility, certainly matches the ethos and IQ of what Jeff Hafler wants from his new defense. I just like it was the easiest. The PFF, I know that in their free agency tracker, they're grading like players fits with where personnel is at. Packers got A+ in that department.
And yeah, I'm sure.
Because it's like he meets everything that they have wanted in that position and what they want moving forward. And I'm just, nothing is ever like this goes to plan of like, this is tailor-made, take us to a Super Bowl kind of thing. But like, this could be a game changer.
Yeah.
And they timed it so well.
Mm-hmm. They made the perfect move at the perfect time for their defense. He's a great fit in Jeff Hafley's defense. I think Andy Herman just shared a tweet a couple minutes ago talking about how on 1st and 10, Xavier McKinney was playing at the line of scrimmage, and on 2nd and 10, he was playing deep safety. Like that, talk about getting a man that you could can do both. That's a man that can do both and everything in between. I know we had talked about on the last pod about his just ability to play all over the secondary. He can play slot, he can play box, he can play outside corner, he can play free safety. Like he's just that all around talent that you need in your secondary. And if Jair can focus in again, and if Jair can lock into being that top all pro corner that he's been in years past, that's a dangerous secondary. Dangerous secondary. Xavier McKinney, I think he's had 5 picks over the past 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. But I mean that's good. That's good for a free safety. If you want like a ball hawk free safety, he's your guy for sure. So I'm all for it. This is going to be an absolutely electric, electric defense. Yeah, he had 3 this year, 2 last year. I mean, good on the Packers, good on Brian Gutekunst for getting this done. I mean, even Xavier McKinney, say cheese, was his tweet after the news was announced today.
And there was like from Diane Russi, I believe, reported that the Eagles were in on him. Like, this is a hot commodity, obviously, when that's a talented player like him. The Packers got him. That's not something that we normally say with the big fishes. It's solely reserved to guys like Reggie White, and maybe that's it. They either keep their own or they move on and continue the draft. There's no real like free agency, like, huzzah, we got this guy kind of guy. So that to me is just in its own right, just something we're celebrating. And now, keep going back to, he's about to enter his prime. He's coming into a defense that's going going to be, you know, they're going to design ways to make it disguise what they usually or had done in the past. And it's stuff that offenses will have to get used to over the course of the season. That's exciting. It's exciting to think of a Packers defense after last year that was not disruptive or forcing turnovers in a way that is kind of their MO when they have been really good. You know, if you think back to like LaFleur's first year where they're forcing turnovers like plenty under Mike Pettine and the disruptive pass rush, like now to have all three levels possibly be aligned in that rather than just like, hey, force quarterbacks to make bad throws and maybe you get lucky with good cornerback play and people being in the right spots. The paradigm is shifting, and it's shifting in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think the biggest thing is just that he's a playmaker. That's all he is. And it's just so exciting to think about a guy like that in the Packers secondary. I mean, you say 2019 Packers, I think of 2010, 2011 Packers when it comes to turnover generating defenses for the Packers in recent history. Like, it's, I mean, if they can do that again, the Packers were only plus 10 in the turnover differential that year, but 10 plus 10 is pretty good. I mean, if you look at the leaders that year, it was Patriots, Steelers, Falcons, 28, 17, 14, and the Packers at 10. So they were one of the best turnover generating defenses in the league that year. And if they can replicate that after, I mean, let me see if I can go to the present quick. 2023, the Packers had a zero turnover differential.
Like, yeah,
10 extra possessions for your offense would be quite good this time around. So I'm elated, just simply elated. There was talk about, I think we said it on last week's pod, where Kay Adams was talking with Xavier McKinney, and he was giving credence that he would enjoy signing with the Packers in Green Bay. Even Tom Silverstein of I think it's Packers Wire, Journal Sentinel. I think it's the
Packers News.
Packers News, my apologies, which I believe is still gonna. Regardless, it doesn't matter. He had talked about when there was some rumblings early on in the day that the Packers are often used as leverage for other teams because the Packers always call. I was like, all right, Spoon, that's enough. We don't need your negativity. It's very true. It's a very apt point, but don't make the point of Xavier McKinney. We needed him.
I know, but during this pod's lifetime, we talked about them dangling, going after Jonathan Taylor and Christian Watsonby among those talks.
Right.
I'm missing another big one that was like, huh, okay. You know, that kind of thing. But yeah, like that was my fear of like, okay, they're in the running.
Yeah.
They could easily be out of it, and they're just known to just not, you know,
not take those swings.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, hell, even to think about it, like the last real swings they took and last time they were able to was 2019 in LaFleur's first year when they went and signed Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith and Adrian Amos and all those guys. Yep. And so it's not often, but the Packers have a track record of once in a while taking these swings on guys they think that are worth it. And I think 1000% Xavier McKinney is worth it. Like, I cannot wait for the season now. I'm so excited. Like, it's going to be fun. They still have a lot of pieces to add on this defense, in particular at linebacker, obviously. But I think it's going to be a fun year just watching him and Jair work together to cause havoc. I think I saw something. Oh, it's from PFF, but I'm fairly certain I'm not going to be able to find it as quickly as I want to find it. But there was a PFF stat. Oh, no, I did find it. It was from PFF Packers, just the dedicated Packers PFF Twitter account. In 2023, Xavier McKinney, 592 snaps, 53 targets, 0 TDs allowed. That makes me a happy Packers podcaster. Anything else on Xavier McKinney?
Certainly take that.
Our newest Packer?
I will say cheese. Cheese?
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Alrighty. The next biggest deal that the Packers signed today, Josh Jacobs.
The first?
The first? No, the second. They signed Tyler Davis.
Get out of here, Tyler.
The Packers, I think, had the biggest surprise to the hour, to the minute at this point in free agency. It was signed probably around 1 o'clock this afternoon.
It was easily the one that was not talked about beforehand. So
right.
the fact that like Kirk Cousins went to the Falcons. That was kind of telegraphed for the last couple days, even maybe dating back to like a couple weeks where
mm-hmm.
there had just been buzz building.
Right.
I don't remember.
But I think even then that happened after this. As far as I remember.
Like, right. In terms of like the kind of, oh, big movement.
Yeah.
Level.
Yeah.
Kind of move.
Right. So yes, for sure. The first biggest move, DeAndre Swift to the Bears was not the like most. It was shocking for sure. It's definitely a choice to sign DeAndre Swift to that deal if you're the Bears, but not like, wow, look at that move. It was like a, look at that move kind of thing. Doesn't matter. Josh Jacobs, 4 years, $48 million. The newest running back in Green Bay. $12.5 million signing bonus and $14 million guaranteed. I think important context with this, with this contract is that for all intents and purposes, this is a one-year deal. And then prove it deals the rest of the way. Cause yep. I think most Team of his options. Money is yeah, most of his money is guaranteed up front. Like it'll be all right, Josh, can you go out there and do it and prove yourself as worth? Because he's coming off of a down year for sure, in which he was a lot less effective than he was 2 years ago when he was the scrimmage yard champion in the NFL. So it's definitely worth exploring. I've always been a big fan of Josh Jacobs. I think he's quite good. Yeah, I guess I'll leave it at that. Leave it at that for now. I guess, Jordan, what was your take on it?
I was quite shocked. I did not imagine that the Packers' first big move in free agency would be to bring in Josh Jacobs. And that's not a matter of just like what his performance was. I just thought like, oh, that is very interesting. And of course, the context of it at the time was, well, they have a number one running back. I thought we were talking about a number two running back, possibly through the draft. Now that need is still there. But we were thinking in the context of how is that going to work between Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones? And so I was thinking not necessarily in terms of just solely Josh Jacobs. I was thinking of it in a partnership between those two. Now I'm forced to think about it in Josh Jacobs alone. And really, like, I think it's a really, it's going to be hard to not think of it in the sense of what the Packers are gaining and what the Packers are losing. But strictly speaking, to make a bet on Josh Jacobs after a down year, a year after having been the NFL's leading rusher. A lot of carries, a lot of miles. Those Raider teams, I think, went to the playoffs once over the last, basically since he got drafted. But the productivity is there. I don't even know what you want to call their season this year where it is just all over the place. But they
just a lost season. Like
lost season, but they still finish in a respectable spot.
They finished strong because of Antonio Pierce. Like, yeah. Once they get rid of Josh McDaniels, shocker. Once you get rid of one of the worst coaches in NFL history, you tend to do better.
And, too, this is a team that we saw during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and at the time, we were talking about how this Raiders team was just not fit to play that the way that they wanted to play. Josh Jacobs is having a down year. Obviously, contractual negotiations were not going in his favor, hence why he eventually became a free agent and, you know, didn't land the big deal like so many other running backs that eventually just got signed today too. I don't know. Like, I was like, okay, like I know he's a good player. I know he was going through a down year and from what I was reading, it sounded like he was kind of turning a corner and they got hurt. And then it was kind of like, well, you're under 1,000 yards and whatever he finished with on the year. But historically has been a really good runner, everything like that. I think I saw today too that he was the Raiders' third leading rusher in franchise history, which is
that's nuts. But
that's kind of nuts. 2000 given their history, do that for you. That
or
that
near 2000, why. I think he had like 1,800 last year.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of excited about what he brings. I think it's something different. Clearly, and maybe we'll see how the Packers pair that. Maybe it's Emmanuel Wilson too. We know that there's been a lot of momentum his way too. But yeah, it's distinctly a very different kind of style. And I have another point that I want to make, but I will make it when we transition to the next talking point.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised that Josh Jacobs being the first one off the board. That would be like the first guy the Packers signed today. I think for the hour it was happening, the Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones pairing was going to be huge and dynamic. I'm skeptical that Josh Jacobs will be able to produce in the same way as Aaron Jones did. This is obviously a prelude to what we'll talk about a little bit with Aaron Jones, but I think it's a testament to Aaron Jones's greatness versus Josh Jacobs' not so greatness. A discussion of how Josh Jacobs is a player today in the Discord. GSPN.info for the Discord if you want to join and keep up on all the latest and greatest Packers news and the channel in there. But he's never profiled as a pass catcher to me, and always been a guy that's like a north-south runner, just able to get chunk yards at will, essentially. And then you just look at his passing or his receiving yards. He's got, I think, like 197 catches since his first year. And I think it was like 1,800 yards, if I'm not mistaken. I tweeted about it. Let me double check that so I'm just not talking out of my butt here. But what I was shown by Tommy, who's in our Discord, so shout out him for opening my eyes, like the guy from Bird Box, when the old lady, when she's doing, he's pulling his eyes open to look at the thing outside, is that
a Bird Box reference in 2024?
That's right.
Jesus Christ.
Jacobs' career stats receiving is 197 catches, 1,450 yards, and zero touchdowns. But then you look back at his tape from college, and he can run some pretty good routes and make some pretty amazing catches over his shoulder and like while moving, essentially. Seemingly he had a lot of dump offs and just like short screens for the Raiders, which works all as well. But if they can find that Josh Jacobs again and find the guy that can be a down the field runner and down the field pass catcher and bring that same sort of dynamic that Aaron Jones has brought to this team since he was a rookie, then I think it's a home run contract, frankly.
Do you know who might be able to do that more than anyone else?
Matt LaFleur. I mean, yeah. Like, that's the offense that he's going to...
John Gruden, Josh McDaniels, of course. Whatever offense coordinators that were offense coordinators but not play callers. Like, I do think that is kind of the differentiating factor, that if we do see something stylistically that is different with Josh Jacobs coming to Green Bay, Matt LaFleur, I'll put my money on him to kind of design running back routes that put him out wide or put him in space that will, you know, get him to scoot. So,
yeah, I mean, you could take Ty's advice here and put something down in a draft book of your choice. First receiving TD coming week one, book that, Ty says in the chat, which I wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't be surprised. But no, I think he's 26 years old. He's still entering like his prime of being an athlete, and this might be his last contract, as we all know how that goes to running backs, but still, like, this has potential to be a fantastic signing and a great move by Brian Gutekunst. Like, I just think it's up there. And depending on how they handle running back and further this offseason, whether that's signing another one, I know they were linked to Zach Moss.
Moss just signed with the Bengals as we've been recording.
Oh, damn.
Bengals released Joe Mixon as a
quarterback. Really?
Yes.
Wow. I did not see that. Oh, my God. So, never mind about Zach Moss. But any sort of backup veteran running back, however you want to do it, or if it's running Manuel Wilson out there and draft a late-round running back, however they want to do it, there's potential here to make sure that this running back room is fresh and young going into these next three competing years, because that's what they're going to be. And so, yeah, I'm a fan of the signing. I think it'll end up working out pretty good. As a Josh Jacobs fan, I think that, but we'll see. This is like, as much as Xavier McKinney was a huge, for sure, home run, knock it out of the park signing, this Josh Jacobs signing, I'm more tenuous about calling a home run right away.
I can see that. I really too. Like, how we talk about the Packers' run offense by the end of the year was way different than how it was for the first 14 weeks, really.
Right.
Like that is the nature of when Aaron Jones was either sidelined entirely or was in games and then was out of the games because of injury. And from that perspective, like, I know Josh Jacobs is coming from a low tier, if not in the bottom of the basement kind of offense with the Raiders and just how they were all of last year, pretty much. But it's not like the Packers are all that much better. Like, there was a real need to get more explosiveness, a quality running back. Yes, what does Josh Jacobs look by the end of that contract than the start of it? That is a real question, and it's obviously why it's structured in a way that the Packers may move on from him, you know, before it ends, or without some restructure or whatever the case may be. But I do think, from their perspective, like, we saw how the offense could be when we had, you know, Kenyon Drake was a practice squad guy that was getting some snaps here and there. AJ Dillon, still a free agent. Therefore, the door is still open technically in that sense.
Yeah, but I'd be curious.
I don't
think it's going to happen, but it's definitely, I don't know.
Yeah, but all I'm trying to say is that there was a real need to improve the rushing offense and just the attack overall, that I can see why, when we look back on it, that is why the Packers made their first big move in the running back room rather than safety or linebacker. Maybe it's just the sequencing of events and moves, but to me, that's where I was like, huh. That's their first big, like, catch of the day, is getting the, you know, one of the best running backs available there. It's like, oh, interesting. All right.
Yeah. So I think that's all on Josh Jacobs. Should we move on to the topic of the day?
Yes.
So in order to make room for Xavier McKinney, in order to make room for Josh Jacobs, the Packers had to part ways with Aaron Jones. I think it's this time we pour one out. I've got a nondescript beverage here. I'm not going to pour it out, actually, but, like, you know, it's the idea here that Packers lost a lot of veterans today. And I think Aaron Jones is by far the most important of them, because the only video that I saw that I think that actually said that mattered, but that really, like, exemplified Aaron Jones's true value to the team and true just, like, leadership in the locker room was the one where I forget who it was, if it was Bo Melton, Malik Heath, or Dontayvion Wicks. It was one of the young guys, but after, I think it was a drop pass or something that happened in the game, it was against the Rams, was not good. He's walking over the sideline, head down, just, like, straight down. And then from there, you see Aaron Jones come over, grab him by the head, and lift it up. It's just like, oh, what a leadership move. What a like a veteran move to really just like say, hey, keep your head up. It's gonna come back for you regardless. Don't get down on yourself. Like, I think that's the biggest thing that really hurts with losing Aaron Jones, because from an emotional standpoint, he's been here for, I think, 6 years now. I think he was drafted in 2017, if I'm not mistaken.
Seven total seasons.
And it's been like amazing the entire time, right? He's been nothing but embracing of Green Bay. He's talked about how much the city and his team means to him. He's been vulnerable when his father passed and he had to play games after that, and how he dedicates all like those games to his dad. And how can we forget every time he beat up on the Cowboys? And it's just like, it just stinks that this is the football, the business side of football. I think it was reported, I think Matt Stiebman wrote an article for The Athletic this afternoon that had talked about the Packers wanting Aaron Jones to take a 50% pay cut from what his salary would have been this year. So that would have been around, if I can do math in my head, $8.5 million, down from 17. Like, that's a big pay cut from a guy that just took one last year. And at some point, you have to still play for what you think you're worth. And I totally get that. But it just stinks, because as elated and as happy as we are to get Xavier McKinney and jumpstart the defense on that side of the ball, it hurts just as much to lose a guy like Aaron Jones to money issues like this.
Yes. It, I messaged you in our chat of GSPNers, of literally all three of the guys that were not technically free agents, but knew that, oh, they have big cap hits. What are the Packers going to do? Literally all three of them got cut. Not all three are getting cut today, but two of the three are getting cut today, and one's getting cut after June 1st. So we were wrong on all accounts. And this is easily the pick most people won.
Yeah.
It's not even close, because of what Aaron Jones has meant the last seven seasons. And even, like, David Bakhtiari, we don't even know if he's going to play football again. Devondre Campbell certainly has something left in the tank. It's maybe not, like, a starting-level linebacker, but he's going to fall. You know, he's going to sign somewhere, and maybe he gives them a boost like he did in Green Bay, not to the level of, like, being an all-pro, but he has something available to them and, you know, can certainly be able to contribute. We saw Aaron Jones play the five best games in a Packers uniform in a row.
Yeah.
To get them to the playoffs, to beat the Cowboys, to almost beat the 49ers. Like, our last memories of him in a Packers uniform is him just torching defenses.
Yep.
And that is really, to go from that and to kind of be like, this team is ascending, but it's not all these young faces. Like, Aaron Jones was one of the old heads.
Mm-hmm.
To call him old when he's 27 or 28 or whatever it is. Like,
he's 28. I'm sorry, he's 29. He turns 30 at the end of the year.
Yes. That's not normal, but in the sense of how football works, that is how we just, you know, the parlance.
Right.
But we had looked at as like, yeah, you keep the veterans. Like, that, how we talked about the Packers around this time, if they were going to initiate, start Jordan Love, get rid of Aaron Rodgers plan. And to keep that around of like, okay, you at least have some of the experienced guys like Aaron Jones. We obviously didn't know if David Bakhtiari was going to be fully healthy or, you know, Devondre Campbell, but like all three of those players we talked about as like, those are the veteran heads that'll keep them cool. That, hey, this, they'll pick them up literally, as you mentioned in that example during the Rams game. And I just think that is, that's what sucks the most with Aaron Jones, is that I think he now was something to prove. Clearly, yo, you want to cut my salary in half after everything I did for you and coming back to Green Bay a couple years ago, when in the shadow of Aaron Rodgers doing his Groundhog Day, you know, impression of, will he come back or did he see a shadow or whatever. But like, he chose to stick it out in Green Bay when there was a lot of momentum for him going to, like, I think Miami was like the premier destination for him during that free agency cycle. So it's like Aaron Jones is like the consummate Packer in my mind of this last 7 years of like super good guy. I've seen a bunch of good stories on Twitter, whether it's Packers beat writers or fans, or you could just kind of tell he's just a very genuine human being.
Yeah.
That I think very easy to root for.
Yeah.
And it sucks to not have that anymore.
Yeah, he was very easy to root for. Like, he definitely endeared himself to the Packers fan base throughout his entire career. Like, just his energy was off the charts, frankly. Yeah. Taylor in chat, I think, is exemplifying everything we've said. Crazy roller coaster emotions for today for Packers Nation. Going to miss my guy Showtime 33 like Kel. Hopefully we get the 2022 version of Josh Jacobs with McKinnon signing an A+. Yeah, absolutely. And then Jason asks, does he end up going in the Packers Hall of Fame? Top three or four in most, if not all, rushing categories in the franchise. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I wouldn't doubt that he gets in the same year Bakhtiari does if it shakes out that way. But, like, a guy who's going to be in the Packers Hall of Fame, without a doubt, as soon as he's able to, because he deserves it.
Then, again, he was a fifth-round pick.
Yep.
He's by proxy of when he was selected, he's easily the last greatest Ted Thompson pick when he was a GM for the Packers.
Depends on how you feel. The sole remaining Ted Thompson pick is Kenny Clark.
I meant, like, he was the last great pick, like, in draft order.
I see when he was taken.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. But yeah.
Overall, of trying to bridge both the Jacobs signing and the Jones signing, I do think it's really interesting that we talk about Josh Jacobs as he's in a down year. Is that a sign of things to come? Is he going to be a top 10 running back? We're not expecting him to be a leading rusher, moving forward or anything like that. But is he closer to being a top 10 or, like, more consistent, dangerous running back? Whereas we just saw Aaron Jones play, as I mentioned, the five greatest games any Packers running back has done is in succession.
Yeah.
Can you move on from that? Like, that is a very calculated choice beyond just the financials. And it'll be very interesting to see what wins out in that degree. Maybe it's all a wash and it fluctuates, but, like, I understand why the Packers and specifically Brian Gutekunst is looking at this as, okay, we're going to just turn back the clock a little bit, get a younger running back, kind of go through the same process that they did. I know there's been a lot of parallels with the money that Josh Jacobs earned versus when the Packers signed Aaron Jones.
The exact same money, the exact same length, and the exact same age.
Yeah. So, from that perspective, I think that's just how you kind of have to look at it, of just resetting the clock, seeing how the next couple of years go, if it, extends all the way through. And then that'll obviously be the biggest judge. But, yeah, I just find that very interesting of seeing what we last saw of those running backs. It could not be further from one another in a lot of ways.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something worth talking about at a later date, or even during the season, is that what is top tier Josh Jacobs look like versus what does top tier Aaron Jones look like? And if Josh Jacobs can replicate Aaron Jones' productivity like that, then I think it's a it's an easy decision to make in a football sense. Obviously, in an emotional sense, it's very hard. And I'm sure it was quite difficult for Goody and the franchise. But if he can be Aaron Jones in production or find ways to make up for it in his own way, absolutely. But I don't know about Josh Jacobs' run blocking skill or his pass blocking ability. But that's another thing that goes unnoticed from Aaron Jones. Like, he was, Micah Parsons talked about it on his press at his Super Bowl podcast when Jordan Love was on it, blocking Micah Parsons. Like, that's not every back can do that. And so it'll be interesting for sure. And something that we just won't know for 7 months. Not seven. What is it? March, 6 months. So
yeah,
it was definitely a day for sure. Like, it's, who knows where Aaron Jones goes? He was fully cut, which means they saved $5 million, I believe, and have $12 million in dead cap. But I believe it was Spoon, Tom Silverstein, or whoever it was on Packers Twitter said that the option remains that if Aaron Jones wants to go test the running back market and doesn't like it and wants to come back, that's always an option. But I don't know if that's exactly the most, how should I say, what's probable. Not the most probable outcome, but he already has one suitor, and it's the Vikings, unfortunately, which would break my heart.
I know we saw, like, a franchise quarterback already play for the Vikings and one of the greatest Packers to ever play, regardless of the human being, playing a Vikings uniform. But, like, see Aaron Jones in a Vikings uniform would suck. It would really suck.
I don't care where he goes except for two places. Well, three, but the third one's not. The Bears are an option, or are a thing I wouldn't like. It's not going to happen. They already have enough running backs, yada, yada, yada. The Vikings and the Cowboys. I can't see him in either of those jerseys. Suck. He's from Texas. You know what he should do is go back home. Not home, but he should go to Houston. They need a running back.
That is, yeah, I've seen a lot of Packers fans plea that the Texans is such a side of them. I would hate for him to play for the Toronto Argonauts, really.
Sure. Sure.
CFL. Come on.
Yeah. Of course. How could I be so stupid?
He's pulling a Ricky Williams and playing for the Argonauts for a year.
Yeah. Big sigh. It sucks, man. Like, I wanted him to finish his career as a Packer. And maybe we still get that. I don't think we do, but maybe we do. And I guess we'll see. Anything else on Aaron Jones? We have a couple more things I want to talk about, just for, I guess, league-wide stuff.
No, maybe there'll be more words dedicated to Aaron Jones in some form or fashion.
Wow, is that a tease?
Well, maybe a tease. But yeah, I am very happy in a lot of ways to see what the Packers have done in free agency, but in the manner that it was. Facilitated, where a couple of weeks ago Tom Silverstein was reporting that the Packers approached Aaron Jones about a pay cut, now learning how much of that pay cut was, and people were dunking on Tom Silverstein, like, why would they would never release him, blah, blah, blah. Like, I know there was erroneous reporting at the time that he had to correct, and that scenario came true, and we are emotional fans that, how dare, no, they wouldn't do that. Bah. Like, you know, that kind of just like immediate gut reaction that we all have at times. But in the case like this, that all came to pass. And it just shows
I never really understood all the details to
react to everything.
Right. I never really understood the people that thought he wouldn't get, like, that he would never get cut, that there wasn't a reality. Like, there was always significant amount of realities where he got cut. Which sucks, but it's just the money aspect of it all, and his age. Like, 29 is old for a running back because of the mileage you put on as a running back.
And it's not like he just had a season that he missed.
That's the context of it, right? Like, that's the context, is that he just played a season in which he didn't play a significant amount of the games. He was very good when he played, but it's a smaller version of why David Bakhtiari got cut, because you can't spend that much money on a player that you don't know is going to be out there when it comes time to play. That's just how it is. Like, if you could turn injuries off, I'm sure they keep both David Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones. No thought about it. But that's not the reality we live in. We live in a reality where Dave Bakhtiari's knee has been a problem for him for the last 3 years. And Aaron Jones comes off a year where his hamstring hobbles him for a significant part of the year. He played very well at the end of the year when he was rested, but you just can't predict what it's going to be like in the future. And that's what's tough, is that it makes all these decisions that much more difficult. But I guess I think the Packers got better today, because you take the emotion out of it. They signed Xavier McKinney. They signed Josh Jacobs. Ben Solak had this tweet of the Packers offense by age. Jordan Love's 25. Josh Jacobs is 26. Romeo Doubs and Jaden Reed are 23. Christian Watson's 24. Dontavian Wicks is 22. Musgrave and Kraft are 23. Rashid Walker and Zach Tom are 24. Josh Myers is 25, and Elton Jenkins is 28. That is a team of players either in or entering their prime.
The only Packer over 28 is Preston Smith.
Yep. This is a young team. This is a talented team. And a team ready to compete in the years to come, should everything fall the way it should. Like, if Jordan Love continues to develop, if Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks take the steps that they are expected to take as sophomores, same thing with Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, like, it's going to be something else if he continues to, or if this team continues to take the necessary steps that they have. They're going to be very good. They're going to be very good.
I agree. Also, on the whole, you got one of the best defensive players available in this free agency class. We don't know where Josh Jacobs is going to be yet, but in an improved structure with a lot more weapons than, I know he's playing with one of the best wide receivers, but the Raiders proved that it's not just signing Davante Adams and you fix your offense. Like, no, you need like a fully balanced offense with a quarterback that is capable of servicing all sorts of players. You know what I mean? Like, Jordan Love obviously showed by the end of the year.
Right.
This is a very well-balanced offense in particular that, based on their age, based on their development curves, and now adding an in his prime running back that has at least gone on to have one of the most productive seasons of the last 5 years since entering the NFL. There's a lot to like here. There's still some holes that they have to improve, like, interior line is probably going to be the biggest thing to address in that sense on that side of the ball. Draft is obviously going to be very come in handy that way. Like, now it's really between the guard position, guard position, Josh Myers center. Like, that is the glaring holes on the offense right now. And then clearly linebacker, and we'll see whether they invest more in free agency or they're going to take that to the draft and that's what they do. But when you get, again, a top five level safety, at times maybe the best running back in at least one season, but you know, they got better players. They got quality players.
They got better.
It spreads it out even more.
They got better.
That's yeah.
Notably, the Dolphins signed a new center today, Jordan. So it means they're not bringing back Connor Williams. Imagine, just for a moment. Maybe they're not done. Just maybe. Could you imagine?
I won't extinguish your Connor Williams dream.
Appreciate you.
We'll be con man.
Other moves that matter to the Packers, just for around the NFC North. Kevin Byard signed a 2-year, $15 million deal with the Bears, who also signed a 3-year, $24 million deal with DeAndre Swift. They extended Jalen Johnson 4 years, $76 million. That happened a couple of days ago, I believe, but he had the wildest quote come out of his press conference today. I will let you guys do your own independent research on that. The Vikings side, Jonathan Grenard, a former Texan, really good edge rusher, so that'll be a problem for the Packers to deal with, along with Andrew Van Ginkle, linebacker, former Dolphin. But notably, like you had mentioned earlier, the Vikings lose Kirk Cousins and are
currently do not have a quarterback
and are pursuing Sam Darnold. Like that Justin Jefferson trade request is going to hit like the biggest paycheck on a Friday. Like it's, I don't know how they think that's a good idea. I know that signing Kirk Cousins to a deal right after tears of Achilles isn't the best idea either, but they have to have something in motion. They have to, because they can't. If Sam Darnold's the motion, is the or
well they I, have they have been talked about as one of the most aggressive teams in the draft, so maybe that's quarterback related.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Like, they could maybe get Penix, depending on they pick at 11. If I'm not mistaken. And so, I don't know what they're going to do because, golly, they need a quarterback to throw Justin Jefferson, and it can't be Sam Darnold. It just can't be.
Maybe it's Favre again. I don't know.
I think he's currently on a trial, but that's neither here nor there. Help me, Jordan. Was it Carlton Davis the Lions traded for this afternoon?
Yep, he got traded to Detroit.
Yeah,
I believe so. Heading into a contract year, so there's that, but that is, it, you know, for a team that might lose CJ Gardner Johnson and their secondary was not particularly strong to begin with, that's an improvement and some help.
It is. And it's, I just can't get off the Vikings choice to have zero quarterback on their roster right now. It's just surprising. Like, I just don't know what they're going to do. They could trade for Justin Fields. I don't think the Bears do that. There's no other real quarterbacks out there. Their only real option is just to go figure out what
they want. Down to like Jacoby Brissett just got signed by the Patriots.
Right.
So like the quarterback market has moved pretty quickly.
I mean, unless they throw a huge bag at the Chargers, whoop to 5, but it's not like Minnesota has a lot of picks to give either. I don't know what they're going to do. I have no idea. Because Chicago, Washington, New England all need quarterbacks. So you need to move them off of 1, 2, or 3. I don't think the Bears trade the Vikings, Caleb Williams, or Justin Fields. The guys don't think they do that. It's just a bad move within your division. Washington's not going to give up their pick for anything cheap. I don't know, man. You just have to hope McCarthy or Penix or somebody falls to you at 11. But we're not a Vikings podcast, so we'll end it there.
No, I was kind of surprised that there was not more done in terms of division rivals. I know the Bears had, you know, a solid day, but
did they? I didn't love a lot of their moves. I thought the Vikings had a good day for the moves that they made. Like the signings that they made, they were good signings. Grenard is a good player. Van Ginkle is a good player. They got better on defense. They got significantly worse on offense, having lost Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, he's not on the Vikings anymore.
Who's that?
You say they re-signed Zadarius. That was Cleveland. They re-signed Zadarius.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
But I didn't like love any of the Bears' moves, frankly.
I think the intercept is good.
I think he's duplicative of the running backs already have, including Herbert, Roshan Johnson. And I'm that's a noted true, yeah. DeAndre Swift hater. Like I just don't think he's that good. He was fine with the Eagles, but he didn't do a whole lot for them.
He trailed off as the season went on, too.
Right.
Much like the Eagles as a whole.
Right. And if you want to blame the offensive coordinators that were in Philadelphia that made that happen because the entire offense was bad, like you had said in the loss of Shane Steichen, sure. But they're signing him to Chicago, whose offense has not been notoriously good as of late, and they still employ Matt Eberflus, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. So, anything else, Jordan? Or should we wrap up here?
No, I think the big fish hunting has been done. I would be very surprised if we see another like big move.
You better put a picture of Connor Williams in between a bunch of candles and start doing a dance.
I'm sorry, but I don't know if that would be a big
move. You don't think it'd be a big move? You don't think it's a big move that they make?
I'm saying in terms of the players that are left, if I'm watching a free agency show and they say like, here are the top five free agents left, I don't think the Packers are signing one of those guys. I don't think
all linemen matter, Jordan. All linemen matter.
I know they do.
But we talked about on this podcast. That's the only one that matters.
I'm just saying. The linebacker market, we saw some people move. Like Jordan Hicks went to Cleveland. Texans got the Titans linebacker, then forgetting how to pronounce his name. But
I don't know. Spotrac has decided to take a collective big dump today because everyone's going there. So I will try to pull up the free agency moves as you're talking.
But some of the linebackers that we talked about that, in our preview pod are not available.
Frankie Louvu signed a $36 million contract the Commanders. Bryce Huff signed a deal with the Eagles, but he's more of an edge rusher versus a linebacker. We talked about Van Ginkle, Blake Cashman's another one, not the New York.
Did he go to Minnesota?
He did, which is another really great move for them.
That is a good one, yeah.
You had mentioned Za'Darius Smith.
Patrick Queen still has not been re-signed.
Nope.
By the Ravens or re-signed elsewhere.
Yeah, I think those are like the three big ones.
Jordan Brooks went to Miami, so that
yeah. Those so are the,
there has
the
been
ones.
Some movement, but not
a whole lot,
not like complete. So yeah, we'll see there.
Yeah. Okay. All right, folks, that does it for us. Thank you all for tuning in to the live stream of this wild day of free agency. Hope you had fun. I know as sure as hell we did. For all things GSPN. Go to gspn.info. You can find all the links to the podcast there. You can find the invite to the Discord there. Follow me at NewMechasKnown and follow Jordan at Jordan Tresky on Twitter, at WatchGSPN on TikTok and Instagram for updates there. You can go subscribe to the YouTube if you're still watching. Subscribe to the YouTube down below. Hit the button, all that good stuff, so you can get updates of when we'll be going live. For all things Bucks, check out Eurostep and Win in Six as they make their end of the year push. Brewers are coming up. Check out Cruising for Bruising with Adam and Andrew. And then Adam and Andrew will also be doing a Make Time for This episode on the recap of the Oscars that were last night. So all that being said, thank you all so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Depending on the moves coming, we will maybe talk to you more this week, or you'll hear from us soon again. So thanks again for listening. And Jordan, thank you.
Thank you.